Amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, you'll see there we're going to be in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 4. And find your place in verse number 18 is where we're going to begin reading today. So we're getting near the end of chapter 4. And hopefully we'll get through all of this here today. But as you see there on the screen, we're going to talk about this topic, packing up to leave. Packing up to leave. Now, I got a question to ask before we get into it. How many of y'all, when y'all was little, ever had the idea that you was going to run away from home? Anybody, raise your hand if you had that idea. I don't remember if I ever had the idea. I'm sure I had the idea, but I never had the courage to do it. But I do have two older brothers. And there came a time in their life where they had the courage to pack up and say, I'm running away from home. Well, they got into the room, they got their small little backpack, and they packed all their essentials in it, probably one toy, a couple pairs of clothes. And man, they took off. They said, you know what, we're just leaving. We're tired of this. And Mom and Dad just let them go. Dad said, give it about 5 minutes, you'll hear them. Well, we left the door open. 5 minutes went by. They was about 500 yards outside the house. And they started, we don't know where to go. And he finally had to go get them. I don't know if that's ever happened to you or your children, but it's always a funny story for me to remember. They packed up to leave. They ended up coming back. But hopefully what's going to happen in our text here today is Moses is getting ready to go back to Egypt. And hopefully what he's not going to do is have a relapse. At halfway there, he's going to turn around and come back. So we're going to see what's going to happen to him here in our text this morning. But look at verse number 18 is where we'll start reading. The Bible says, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou go to return into Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at his feet, and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go, and then she said, bloody husband thou art, because of the circumcision. Let's read through verse 28. The Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. That's where we're going to stop this morning. You know, beginning in chapter 3, in verse number 1, the most familiar passage really in Exodus is the passage about the burning bush. That's what happened in chapter number 3. God shows up to Moses in the form of a burning bush. And in verse 6 of chapter 3 is where God begins His conversation with Moses. God and Moses begin a conversation together through this burning bush. Now, honestly, if you will study your Bible, mostly the Old Testament, when God had a conversation with people, it usually lasted about 3 or 4 verses at most. God would say this, the person would say, all right, and the conversation would be over. Most conversations were very short between God and people in the Old Testament. But this conversation that God has with Moses, it has taken us 4 weeks to get through one conversation. In other words, this is one of those long conversations that God is having with Moses. Listen, it started in chapter 3, verse 6. And it didn't end until chapter 4, verse 17. So all of chapter 3 and pretty much all of chapter 4 is one long conversation between God and Moses. Now, in actual time, we're not sure how long this took. But I would be willing to say this. If this conversation started at sunrise, when Moses went out to feed his sheep to take them to some green pasture, and God showed up at sunrise, it probably wasn't until sundown that this conversation was over. So this conversation may have lasted 12 hours, whatever. We know that this was a very long conversation between God and Moses. You say, well, why was this such a long conversation? Here's why. Because nearly all of chapter number 4 was Moses resisting God's will. Nearly all of chapter 4 was Moses telling God, listen God, I know what you're telling me to do, but I cannot do what you're telling me to do. And therefore, because of that, it is this long, drawn-out conversation. Brother Ed, that got me thinking about times in my own life when I've had some of these long conversations with God too. There have been times in my life where I know exactly to the T what God is telling me to do. I know exactly the thing God is leading me to do in my life, yet the next day comes and I'm still talking to God about it. The next week comes and I'm still arguing with God whether I should do it or not. And sometimes even the next month came and I'm still talking to God about it. I know exactly what God is telling me to do. It comes up over and over and over and over again, yet it takes almost weeks, maybe even months for me to finally say, all right, God, I'm finally ready to do what you're telling me to do. We do the exact same thing sometimes with God. But there's a principle for you and I to learn in this. When God leads us to do something and we know that it is Him telling us to do it, let us obey Him promptly. Don't let us take days or weeks or months to finally come to the place where we say, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to trust you. But may we, as a mom says to the son, I'm going to give you to the count of one. Right? May the first time God tells us to do something, let that be the time we obey Him and just go ahead and do what He tells us to do. Charles Stanley said, obeying God is doing what God says, when God says, and how God says. Let's do what He says, when He says, and how He tells us to do it. If we would keep that in mind, I believe it'd save us a lot of pain and a lot of trouble in our life if we'd just be willing to obey Him the first time. But you'll see in our text this morning what we're going to get into is that we have finally reached verse number 18. We have finally reached the place where the burning bush is no longer burning. The fire has disappeared. The bush has gone back to normal, and the only thing now is Moses standing at the bottom of this mountain all alone. Knowing what God has told him to do, and he is finally, after a whole day of arguing, willing to do what God is telling him to do. Where he's going to return to Egypt and lead Israel in what is called the Exodus. But I'll just be honest with you. When God disappeared out of this burning bush, yeah, Moses knew what God told him to do, and yeah, Moses is finally now willing to do it. Moses probably still had a lot of questions to ask. I'd have had a lot of questions to ask God as well. Like, for instance, Moses has been in the same place for 40 years. He's had the same occupation for the past 40 years, doing the same exact thing nearly every day for 40 years. And now God is saying to Moses, all right, pack up and leave in one day. The main question that I'd have had to ask was, God, what do you want me to take with me? Right? What am I supposed to take? Or here's a good one. What do you want me to leave behind? What do you want me to leave in Midian? And what do you want me to take to Egypt? I'll never forget, back at my home church in South Carolina, there was a young couple, probably 35, 40 years old. And God had called them to be missionaries in Indonesia. Indonesia is like an 80-85% Muslim country. And He called this young couple to go over and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these people. And I'll never forget the day that they were boarding the plane to go. A lot of the people from the church, we got on a bus and we took them to the airport to see them off, to pray with them, and maybe thinking it might be the last time we ever see them. You never know. But I'll never forget, as we were riding there, I had these questions about what they were thinking. These questions about what they were doing. Like, they've been in South Carolina for the past 35 years. Big home, big car, nice job, this money, that money. They've got all of this stuff. And now I find myself asking, what are they going to take with them halfway across the world? And the next question was, what are they leaving behind? And there's a picture that will be ingrained in my mind the rest of my life from that day. It was about 4:30 a.m. when we dropped them off. And we went inside the airport together and we prayed with them. And here they go, they turn around and they walk to go up the escalator to get to the main part of the airport. And the only thing I remember seeing was Craig had one bag like this and his wife had one bag like this. And they rode up the escalator. This is all they had. That was it. They were taking this and everything else they had earned the rest of their life that left behind. Why? Because that's what God told them to do. Because they were obeying what God had told them to do. Now, I brought this up for you here this morning. Because really what chapter 4, the verses that we just read, is all about are some bags that Moses needs to take with him. But there are also some bags that God is going to call Moses to leave behind. And when you and I set out, no matter what it may be, it doesn't matter whether you're leaving the country or whatever, but when God calls you to do a certain thing in your life, and when you are about to obey Him, there are going to be bags that you need to leave behind. And there are going to be bags that you need to take with you in obedience to God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. When you go and start obeying God, what do you need to take with you? And what are some things that you need to leave behind and not take with you anymore? So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, to be honest with you, we could take that into a 2-hour message. But I can see some of y'all are already hungry, so we're not going to. There's a lot of things that could be thrown into that. But we're just going to stay with the text and see what Moses did, and hopefully it can give us some help this morning. So there's a first bag that Moses wants to take with him. And it's his family's blessing. It's his family's blessing. Let's look at verse 18. After this encounter with God, the Bible says, Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, said unto him, let me go and return to my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. So after God called Moses to this task, I want you to notice that. Moses did not immediately drop everything and start walking towards Egypt. But before Moses left to go to Egypt, Moses had some things to take care of first. And the first thing he wanted to take care of was he wanted to go back to his father-in-law, the man who took him in 40 years ago when he was lost. The man who took him in 40 years ago when he didn't have a job and he gave him a job. The man who took him in 40 years ago and even gave him his own daughter to be his wife. Moses needed to go back to his father-in-law, and the first thing that he does is he asks for a leave of absence. Because Moses, in essence, he worked for Jethro. He was a shepherd to his sheep. And that's what he does in verse number 18. He goes back to his father-in-law and he asks him, basically, if he can take a leave of absence and go do what God has called him to do. But I want you to notice in verse 18, he didn't tell Jethro the whole story. He didn't come to Jethro and say, hey, listen, God just showed up to me in this form of a burning bush. God told me what to do. God told me how to do it. And this is what I am going to do. Moses didn't even really tell him what God had just said. He didn't even tell him God had showed up to him. And that's something that I talked about to Brother Ronnie this morning. There are some things, when God lays it on your heart to do it, you don't have to tell anybody else. Because sometimes when God lays it on your heart, and you've got such peace about it, if you go tell somebody else about it, they're going to start doubting you. They're going to say, "Are you serious? You really think that's what God told you to do?" And it's going to start making you questioning all over again. There are some things when God tells you to do it, don't worry about telling everybody else. Sometimes that's just between you and God. But really the only thing Moses told Jethro was, "Hey, listen, this is what's on my heart, and I'm going to pursue it, if that would be all right with you since I'm your employee." Now, we could skip over that. As a matter of fact, I almost skipped over it this week and went straight to chapter number 4. But there's a principle that lies in this. Moses did not have to do this. Moses could have went straight to Egypt without saying anything, because that's what God had laid on his heart to do. But Moses, out of kindness to the man who had been so kind to him, he went back and said, "I want you to know I need a leave of absence to follow what is on my heart." And here's the thing. That is what is called being respectable. Moses was simply being respectable. In church, whether we're dealing with each other at church, whether we're dealing with our family at home, or whether you're dealing with unbelievers out in the world or at your job, we should always strive to live a respectable life. Amen. Y'all say amen to that. We should always, it doesn't matter who we're dealing with, whether it's believers we've known for 50 years or whether it's people that we don't even know out in the world, we should always strive to live a respectable life. Because every single place we go, every single person we encounter, whether we know it or not, we are a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we must be respectable in our dealings with all people. Because I want you to think about this. What if Moses just left without saying anything? Moses walked away from home one day and he just never came back. He had a job to do. He had a family to attend to. He had a boss to tell. But think about if Moses would have just left and Jethro would have never saw him again. You know what that would have done? That'd have left a bad taste in Jethro's mouth about Moses, right? He said, "Are you kidding me? I treated him so well and he's going to act like that." And he never showed up again. What Moses would have never been able to do later in life is be a good witness to Jethro about who God is, because it would have left a bad taste in his mouth. So what you and I must do is a principle in this is we must be respectable in our dealings with all people. And there's an example that I want to share with you, really about me. I hate using myself, but in college and even after college, I worked at the YMCA for about 4 or 5 years. Well, right in the middle of my time there, God called me to preach. And near the end of my time there, of course, God called me to be the pastor here at Hardin. And I want you to think about how unrespectable it would have been for me on my last day at that job. And I knew it was my last day. Yet they didn't. For me to walk out on that day and say, "All right, guys, see y'all tomorrow," and then for me to never show back up again. All right, that would have been something that wouldn't have been real good for me to do, because they might have saw me on Sunday preaching on Facebook and say, "Oh, looky there, there's where he went. There's where he scurried off to." Guess who they wouldn't listen to preach on Sunday? Me. Because that wouldn't have been a very respectable thing for me to do. But the only thing that I did was I walked in there probably about a month before and I told my boss, I said, "Listen, God, you know God's called me to preach, and now God has called me to leave 2 hours from here and go pastor a church up there." And my boss didn't look at me and say, I don't care. He didn't look at me and say, "Well, now I got to hire somebody else." He looked at me and said, I want you to know that I'm proud of you and I'm praying for you." And they had a good response to me. And to be honest, it was a great response, because my last day there, they got me a cake because they knew I love cake. So I got to walk out on my last day carrying a big cake, man. Their response was awesome. I was worried about their response, as most people are when you're leaving a job. But their response was great. And I want you to see what Jethro's response was in verse 18. The end of the verse, it says, go in peace. That's it. Jethro didn't look at Moses and say, Moses, I really don't care what God has laid on your heart to do. You got a job to do here. Jethro didn't look at Moses and say, well, you know, I don't have anybody else to do this, so you can't do this. Jethro is in essence saying, well, son, if that's what God has laid on your heart to do, go ahead. That's basically what is going on here. And that can also be a principle to us. Not only for us to be like Moses, to be respectable to all people, but also be like Jethro and be compassionate to all people. For if God were to call someone in your family, in your friends, even in our church, to do something, and it's a biblical thing to do, it's a right thing to do, you know what we should do? We should support them in doing it. Now let's say this. Let's say they want to do something that's unbiblical, something that's wrong. We shouldn't support them, okay? But if it's something that's biblical, if something that's God laid on their heart, if something that's right, we need to be people who support one another and not scorn one another. Because can you imagine how even harder it would have been for Moses to leave if his father-in-law would have been like, you don't have my support? You know how much easier it made it for Moses to go to Egypt knowing he had the support of his own family? I can say this, it's already hard enough to obey God. It makes it even harder when the people around you don't support you, right? So we need to be those people that when God has called someone in our family and our friends to go do something, let us be people who support them. Let us be people who say, if God's laid that on your heart, I'm praying for you and I'm supporting you. There's a lot of principles lined up there in verse number 18. But that's the first thing Moses wanted to do, was he wanted to take his family's blessing with him. Now, if he didn't get it, I hope he would still go. But that's what we need to do as well. We need to make sure we're being respectable to all people in our dealings. Because that made it a whole lot easier for Moses to pack up and leave knowing he had his family's blessing upon it. So that's the first thing he does. But there's so that bag is one bag that he needs to take with him. But there's a second bag. And it's Moses' fear. Now let me ask you this question. Do you think that's a bag Moses needs to take with him or leave behind? Any guesses? He needs to leave it behind. Right. Fear is something that God is about to tell Moses, don't take that with you. When you're obeying me, don't take your fear with you, but leave it behind. Let's look at verse 19. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. That just came kind of out of nowhere, right? Moses wasn't talking to God, but God just comes up and says, Moses, now it's time to go to Egypt, and I want you to know something. The men that used to seek your life 40 years ago, they're gone. Now this is pretty interesting, because Moses never said anything about this to God in chapter 3 or 4. Moses didn't say, God, I'm really afraid to go back. Because you know 40 years ago those men were seeking my life and they're probably still there. Moses never said that. Moses never used that as an excuse. But here's the thing. Though Moses never said it, God knew he was thinking it. Though Moses never said he was scared to go back for that reason, God knew he was thinking that was one reason he was scared. God knew what he was worried about in his heart. And that makes me pretty glad this morning, I'll be honest with you. Because aren't you glad that even the things we don't tell God we're worried about, He already knows we're worried about it. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Aren't you glad the things we don't even tell God we're worried about, He already knows we're worried about it. He knows. And you see what God did to Moses? Though Moses didn't say this, God came to Moses with a word of comfort, right when he needed it. Right when he needed it. See, Moses was fearful. Moses was worried. Moses was scared to do what God was telling him to do. But God, in essence, in verse number 19, is saying, Moses, you need to leave your fear right here. You need to leave your worry right here, because the very thing you are worried about, I already took care of it. I like that. The very thing that Moses was worried about in his heart, God comes up and says, Moses, I want you to know, I already took care of it. There's no reason to fear. Don't fear. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. And I can imagine what comfort that was to Moses, a word from God right when he needed it. I want you to notice the way God comforted Moses. God knew Moses needed comfort in this moment. He didn't give Moses a big old piece of pizza and say, here's your comfort. I'll be honest with you, I find some comfort in some food sometimes. I do. God didn't take Moses and say, Moses, go lay down, get some sleep, you'll find some comfort. I find comfort in sleeping sometimes too. But the place Moses found comfort was in the very Word of God. It was in the Word of God to him. And I don't know about y'all this morning, but I am so thankful for my Bible. I am so thankful for the Word of God. Because whether it's through a sermon, whether it's through a devotional, or whether it's just through me reading through the pages of this Word, God always knows what I need to hear, and He gives me to it right when I need to hear it. God does that. When you need a word of comfort, we've talked about this time and time again, when you need comfort and peace in your life, don't let that be a time where your Bible stays closed. Let it be a time that your Bible is open more than it's ever been. Because God knows you need a word of comfort, and He knows exactly when to give it to you. But He can only give it to you if these pages are open and if you're listening. God gives us comfort through His Word. And what God is telling Moses here is, Moses, you need to leave behind your fear, because I am in control. And when we're going to obey God, yeah, there'll be some things that we're worried about. There'll be some things that we don't have figured out. But God wants you to know, don't fear and don't be afraid. I am in control. And most of the time, He's already taken care of what we're worried about. So that was a bag that Moses needed to leave behind. Number three, not only did Moses want to take his family's blessing to Egypt, did God say, Moses, you need to leave your fear behind in Midian, but thirdly, God is going to tell Moses, you need to take your testimony with you. You need to take your testimony with you. Let's look at verse 20. The Bible says, Moses then took his wife and he took his sons, he had two sons, and he sat them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And notice what that next phrase says in verse 20. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Amen. How y'all like this rod? I told somebody this morning, I'm bringing this today because if y'all start sleeping, pow! Ain't no sleeping in Wednesday morning service. Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Jerry, did you watch the Ten Commandments the other night? You ever seen that movie, The Ten Commandments? Real old movie with Moses. He had a rod about this big, didn't he? It's huge. I want you to notice something about verse 20, though. It says he took the rod, not of Moses, the rod of God. Now, if you have your Bible open, I want you to go back to verse 2 of chapter 4. You don't have to look at it if you don't have it. But chapter 2, God comes to Moses. Verse 2, chapter 4. The Lord said unto Moses, what's in your hand? And he said, say it with me, a rod. Might not be interesting to you. But in chapter 4, verse 2, this is nothing more than a ordinary, nothing special, nothing extraordinary about it. Moses said, this thing is nothing but a rod. But it's pretty interesting when you get to verse number 20. It doesn't just say it's a rod anymore. It says it's the rod of God. It changed. Because somebody got their hands upon it. And what this is, we're going to see as we go through the book of Exodus, it's going to take us a while. Well, we're going to see that there was an amazing history that awaited this rod. Because in chapter number 14, God said, I want you to raise up that rod. And when He raised up that rod, what happened? The Red Sea split right in half. Chapter 17, God said, raise up your rod and your brothers fighting down there will win the war. All you got to do is raise it up. A little bit later in the book of Numbers, Moses hit the rod on a rock and water came out of it. There was a great history that awaited this rod. But I want you to know this. In chapter 4, at the end of it, to Moses, what was this rod to Moses? This rod was a testimony of the power of God. This rod had become a testimony to the power of God. Because you remember last week, Moses saw God do a miracle with this rod. Moses threw the rod down and it became a snake. Now let me tell you something. If this rod falls in the next 5 seconds and it becomes a snake, the service is over. Y'all can stay if you want to, but I ain't. Moses saw God do a miracle with this rod. It became a snake, it became a rod again. You know what that was? That was God showing Moses, I have the power to do whatever I need to do. And Moses saw this rod now not as just a wooden rod that led shepherds. He saw this rod as a testimony of the power of God in his life. And what I want to ask you this morning is if I wonder if there has ever been a time in your life when God did something amazing for you. I wonder if there's ever been a time in your life when God answered a very specific prayer for you. If there's ever been a time in your life when it looked like everything was lost, when it looked like there was no hope, the doctor said no, the family said no, the friends said no, everybody, even you, said this can't happen, yet Almighty God came through and He made it happen for you. Have you ever had a time like that? You know what that is? That's a testimony to the power of God. That's a testimony to the power of God in your life. And what God wants you to know this morning is those prayers that He's answered in the past, those times you've seen His power come through in your life before, those times where it seems like all is lost and He split a Red Sea for you and made a way, do not ever forget about those times. But remember the time He came through for you. Remember the prayers He's answered for you. Remember when He brought you out of predicament that you could not bring yourself out of. Remember those times, because as you go forward into times that don't look good, when you go forward into times that are that you don't know the way, remember the God that did it back there is the same God that can do it up there. So when you have a testimony in your past about the power of God, God says, take that with you. Because I want you to know the same God that did it back there is the same God that can do it up here. And He's telling Moses, take this with you and don't you ever forget what I did with this rod, because My power is with you. When you're stepping out to obey God, when you're doing something that He's told you to do and you're not sure how it's going to end up, you know what God tells you to do? Remember. Remember when He brought you through a year ago. Remember when you were so down and depressed that you just didn't see the light of day ever coming back again. But remember how God brought you through to another day. God said, don't forget about what I did for you back there. Remember. Because as you remember what I did back there, you'll have even greater faith that I can do it right here. Remember when David fought Goliath? Y'all ever heard of that story? David and Goliath? When David went to fight Goliath, David didn't go without a testimony. You see, David came up and they were all saying, David, you can't do this. David, you can't fight him. Look at him. Look at you. David says, guys, I want y'all to know something. That a time in my life in the past, when I was being simply a shepherd, there came a lion and a bear into my flock. And they came to destroy me, and they came to destroy my flock. And that was a big enemy that came against me. But through the power of God, I killed both that lion and that bear. Because God was with me, because God delivered me. And he said, I want y'all to know something. Goliath might be big, Goliath might be strong, but Goliath is not bigger and stronger than my God. And David wanted them to know the God that delivered me from the bear and the lion is the God that will deliver me from a man named Goliath. So what gave him faith to fight Goliath was the fact that God already delivered him from a bear in the past. And what gives you the faith to fight your battles today and tomorrow is to look back at yesterday and say, look at what God got me through yesterday. And you'll find the faith to fight the battle today. And God says, take it with you and remember what I brought you through every day of your life. And let it be a testimony that I'm still with you and that I still have the power to bring you through. So that was the next thing God said, I want you to take that with you. I want you to take the rod of God with you. And I'm going to give you this fourth thing and I'm going to be done this morning. Not only did he say he wanted to take his family's blessing, he wanted to leave behind his fear, he wanted to take his testimony with him. But this fourth thing is kind of weird. We read it. He's going to tell him to leave his neglect behind. Because Moses has neglected to do something, and God is going to tell him, in essence, we need to leave that behind as well. Let's go to verse 24. Verse 21 through 23 is basically God telling Moses, listen, this is what's going to happen, and I'm promising you this is going to happen. But then we come to verse 24. Look at what it says. And it came to pass, by the way in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now that's pretty interesting at first glance. And it's pretty confusing, to be honest with you. And here's why. Just a few verses earlier, God said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and lead an exodus. God, I want you to go to Egypt and Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and deliver my people. And here's what's confusing. Moses has got his bags packed. Moses is literally on his way to Egypt, walking towards Egypt. And yet right in the middle of his journey in obeying God, verse 24 says God stopped him in his tracks and sought to kill him. I remember reading that saying, God, how in the world do you expect him to lead an exodus if he's dead? Right? God shows up to Moses and the Bible says he sought to kill him. And the question is, why in the world is God doing this? Why would God do that? Well, the context kind of explains it for us, but here's what I want you to know. The reason God is doing this is because though Moses was obeying God in the big thing, he neglected to obey God in the little thing. All right? Though Moses was obeying God going to Egypt, he had neglected to obey God in something small. You say, what was that? It was circumcising his son. He had neglected to circumcise his son. You say, why is that a big deal? Because in Genesis chapter number 17, God comes to Abraham, says, Abraham, every son in your family that is born from here on out, you are to circumcise him. And that circumcision is a sign of the covenant between me and your family. The promise between me and your family. And God told Abraham this, the son who is not circumcised shall be cut off from the covenant. Okay? So the son who's not circumcised shall be cut off from the covenant. He has no part in my promises. Well, guess what? Moses knew that. Moses knew that that was God's promise, God's will, to circumcise the children, the sons. Moses knew he was supposed to do that. Yet, thinking, you know what? That's a small thing. It really doesn't matter. He neglected it. He neglected to do just a small thing that God had told their family to do. So here's what happens. While they're on the way there, some people say Moses come down with a sickness, and that's how God sought to kill him. In other words, he was deathly sick just all of a sudden. So Some people say in the way there that maybe an angel showed up with a sword and literally stopped him from going any further. You can take either one. But that's what happens. On the way there, God says, no, not any further. Because there's something we need to take care of first. There's something small we need to take care of first. And while that happens, somehow God tells him, you have neglected to keep my covenant. You have neglected to obey me in circumcising your son. And Moses is so sick, Moses is so down, that he has to get his wife to do it. He couldn't even do it. Verse 25, look at it. Zipporah, his wife, now takes a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son. Now, thankfully, most commentators say this second-born son is still just a newborn son. So hopefully it wasn't as bad for him. But the wife takes a sharp stone and cuts off the foreskin of her son, and then says, verse 26, so he let him go. So you see, that's the problem. Because the moment the son was circumcised, God says, all right, you can go for it now. So that was the main problem. The moment Moses got this right, God says, all right, you can go further in obeying me. But I want you to think about this. When they got to Egypt, no one would have ever known whether Moses' son was circumcised or not. Nobody. Do you know that's a hidden thing, right? Nobody in Egypt would have ever known whether Moses' son were circumcised or not because it's hidden. Yet you know who would know? God. God would know. Do you know what that shows me? God cares just as much about our hidden sins as He does our public sins. Failing to circumcise His son was a sin, yet it was hidden. But God says, I care just as much about those things that nobody else knows as much as I do about those sins that everybody else does know about. You know what He tells Moses? In both cases, you need to get it right. He says, because this hidden sin is something that if you're going to obey me, you can't go any further until you get this right. And there are some things that I can look back in my own life and you might can do in yours and you might can look at your life right now. That before God lets you go any further in His will, you're going to have to cut off something first. Before God lets you go any further in obedience to Him, there might be something real small in your life that's not right, but what God is asking you to do is take care of it. And God is asking us to get it right before we can go any further. God says, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt, but before you get there, we need to take care of something first. And God will tell us through our conscience, through the Holy Spirit, that if there's not something right in our life, He'll tell us. And what He asks us to do is to cut it off. He asks us to get it right with Him before we can go any further. So He says, Moses, this might be a little thing, but to me it's a big thing. How many of you know sin's a big thing to God? To deny sin is a big thing to God is to deny the necessity of Christ dying on the cross. To say God doesn't care that much about sin is to say Jesus dying on the cross wasn't that big of a deal. Do you know the very reason Jesus died on the cross? That word, sin. Sin's a big deal to God. And you know what our culture's doing? Making sin not that much of a big deal. Right? Sin's an open thing now. Even when I was growing up, if you sinned, you didn't want anybody to know about it. Am I right? But now sin is something that you want to be on TV. Right? You want it to be displayed on social media. You want everybody to know that you have sinned. Why? Because the devil is watering down sin and say it's not that big of a deal. But God, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, especially on the cross, trying to tell you and I, sin is such a big deal to me that it cost me the blood of my son. So I pray that whether it's a big sin in our life or a small sin in our life, that we would realize that sin cost Jesus Christ His life. And sin is not something that we should play around in. Sin is not something that God takes lightly. Sin is something that God forgives. Sin is something that God covers with the blood of Christ. But sin is also something that God says, I don't want it to bog down your life. I don't want it to ruin your life. I don't want it to take you to a place where it'll take you. So therefore, get rid of it before it takes you down a road you don't want to go on. And that's exactly what he tells Moses to do here in our text. And next week, I'm looking forward to it, we're going to see Moses finally steps into Egypt, and he's going to step before Pharaoh and say those famous words that we hear in the movie, "Let my people go." So y'all make sure you come back next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and God, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, there's so many principles in it. There's so much that can profit us in our life. Lord, all Scripture can help us. And I thank you for just these few verses that we read, this tucked in Exodus chapter number 4. And I pray that it would help us in our life, that when you are leading us to obedience, when you're leading us to do something, Lord, I pray that you would help us to leave our fear behind, knowing there's nothing to be scared of if you're calling us to do it. We'd take our testimony with you that your power can go with us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be respectable to all people that we encounter in this life. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's our ultimate example of all those things, where we can obey you no matter what. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for all that you are to us. Be with us as we leave this place. Give us a good rest of our day, Lord, as we obey you, as we love you, and as we serve you with joy. Lord, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you.